Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. We had some scheduling issues last week, but we're really glad to have Mayor John Hamilton from Bloomington here this week. Hello and welcome.
Thank you, Joe. Good to be with you again. Thanks for being flexible on the schedule.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of things to catch up on, but I have to mention that we're getting down to only three more shows left. That's including this one before it's all done with Mayor Hamilton here on Ask the Mayor.
Hard to believe,
Joe. It's hard to believe, and I'm sure for you more than anyone. Do you feel like things are starting to wind up, or do you feel like they're going the opposite direction?
Well, you know, 8 years, it's kind of like life, right? Sometimes 8 years seems like it's a long time that you've been mayor, but then other times it seems like it's just a brief period of being able to carry this torch. There's a lot still to be done. I'm definitely aware of the schedule of the year and have more work to get done, but it's, you know, it feels good. I feel like I'm handing the city over in great shape, but I do confess, you know, I'll say, well, this is the last time I'm doing this event, and, you know, coming up we'll have the lighting of the square day after Thanksgiving. That'll be the last time to get to do that, but it's a pleasure.
So I know we have a few things that we're going to go over, but before we get to those, do you have like two or three things that you're really, really trying to get done right now?
Joe, really, it's a list of a few things. We've got the Showers West project. That's a big, important thing to be getting done. We've got Trades District moving. We've got the Convention Center moving. We've got Hopewell moving. And then, of course, finishing it. We got the budget passed, but we want to do the last steps of that. And just taking care of people and relationships. So it's really a pretty big list still.
Okay, well, let's get to some of these things that caught our eye, and we have to start with the monolith. Last month we were here, you said that it was being constructed or complete by the builders itself. The installation stopped due to protests from residents over the cost and appearance. Now the city is saying they have to wait until next year to decide what to do with it. So where is it right now, I guess? Can it be changed? And obviously, if it has to wait till next year, you won't be here.
Right. So again, this is a gateway to the city. It was part of the Bicentennial Bond project back in 2018, and COVID came in and interrupted some of that. And we as far as I intend, Joe, we're going to have a gateway at Miller Showers Park. It's a great place for people to see Bloomington as they're coming in, even if they're going across the bypass and that kind of thing. I think we may be doing some infrastructure work there. That park crossing right at Old 37 needs some substantial work, regardless of what kind of gateway is put in. You know, the Parks Department will continue doing what they do, which is get feedback on the design. It may change some, it may change none, it may change a lot, a little, as the time goes past. But we still have to decide this year about doing some of that infrastructure work to get it ready. There's a bunch of invasive pear trees that are going to get replaced, and the timing of that will be settled. But it will carry on into next term, the next administration, and people will still be able to weigh in on it.
So can the actual object be changed?
It could be.
So it's not complete?
It's not completed.
It's not sitting in a warehouse somewhere waiting to go up?
No, there's a contract to do it, but it's not completely done. There's a flexibility to change it, and again, the Parks Department will be really it's in charge of that process, and they'll Tim Street, who's the new interim Parks Director, will take that on.
So what about the contractors, subcontractors? You know, they were awarded the project. Could they lose the project? Will they get paid?
Well, we pay for any work that they've done. The biggest bulk of the money, though, actually was for the infrastructure. It's like the crossing and putting in new sidewalks and putting in some new ADA accessible ramps and upgrading the north end of the park. The actual gateway feature itself was not the larger part of those investments. We may go forward with some of that infrastructure. I think it's still be decided in the next week or two with the Public Works Board. But anybody who does work for us, we will pay them. If it ends up being a very different gateway and it's not the same provider, then we may owe them some money for design if that gets changed, and you know that can happen. But it'll get worked out.
Will there be any more opportunity for public input, or is that boat sailed?
It's really up to the Parks Department. I think there may be some. We've gotten a lot. And as you know, we talked about last time, there was a whole lot of public input. I mean, part of this is public input happens, and then there's a decision or going forward, and then public, other people in the public are like, wait a minute, I didn't pay attention to that. I want to weigh in now. So the Parks will manage that process.
So this whole process, is this something that you can say, this is how government works, or was this a breakdown in the government?
Well, it's interesting, Joe. I think it's how government works. I mean, I think sometimes you get a process of input, whether it's on a park or it's on a gateway or it's on a plan, and we get a lot of public input, and then people may look at it later and say, hey, I didn't get to weigh in on that. I want to weigh in on that. Sometimes it's too late, sometimes it's not, and government tries to accommodate that as best we can.
All right, annexation proceedings are back in the schedule. Just wanted to clarify a couple things.
Sure.
You know, that we talked about. This is a long
process. We've been talking about for years,
oh my goodness,
right?
And many different court situations. I'm not a lawyer or an attorney, and I've been trying to do my best of following on how all this, you know, works and get the right information to the public. But this, moving forward, are the annexation hearings. This is the appeal trial for that the courts are allowing you to schedule a trial date for.
We're finally getting a trial on the parts of the annexation that are subject to trial, and that's the west side. 1A and 1B is technically called, but it's basically the big west side parts of the annexation, where the remonstrators didn't get past a certain level but got to a certain level that goes to trial. We actually sought that case began 19 months ago, and we're still not at trial. We're still months away, so that's been a little frustrating. But we do finally are in the process to schedule the trial on that west side annexation. As a reminder, that's separate from the other trial, which is basically a constitutional issue about the whole remonstrance validity. And that's going to have an oral argument yet this year, probably, but won't be decided for a while.
And that one that you just mentioned, though, the city has dropped 1A and 1B.
Exactly.
But not the other
correct
areas.
That is correct.
That's so right. That's still, it's not gone. It's not like that whole thing has been dropped.
That's not gone. It's just to remind people, I mean, I know we get into all this technical stuff, but one of the big things that happened was the state legislature, in the midst of the illegal stoppage of 4 years, in the midst of that, the state legislature changed the validity of waivers, where people had exchanged sewer service to agree not to protest the eventual annexation. When they changed that rule, we think that pulled the rug out from under the city and the agreements we'd made. And so that constitutional litigation was the legislature inappropriately doing that. That's still going on for the other areas.
And I mean, I think we can say at this point, both of those will most likely happen when this administration
is likely to go on. Well, the argument for the constitutional one will happen this year, we think, but it won't get decided probably until at least next year. And then the trial will very likely be early next year.
So how does that work with a new administration?
Well, the new mayor, and we expect that to happen very soon. We know there's only one candidate. We've been talking, I've been offering to talk to that. I expect after the election, we'll have a number of transition engagements on that and a whole set of other issues to try to help make that smooth. And there's, of course, a new council, too, and the council with five new members can take different actions. But I'm confident as they look into this, the importance of annexation for Bloomington's future, that they'll want to keep it going. I hope so. I think it's the right thing. Mm-hmm.
So if those two areas, 1A and 1B, are obtained by the city through annexation, most likely that would happen probably next year or maybe next couple of years, depending on appeals and so forth. Will the next administration be able to provide city services for those two areas?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've done two now very extensive fiscal analyses to make sure we can do that, whether it's from sanitation services or street services or park services or police services, all those things that we do, the arts and the housing and neighborhood development and community block grants, all those things will be available. It'll be a phase-in period. That's normal in an annexation process, is that you phase those in over a period of time. But I'm very confident that we would be providing great services to these urban nearby neighborhoods.
There was a hearing, a scheduling hearing yesterday, mm-hmm. but we won't know, right, the trial date for some time.
We don't have that yet. That did not get set. We're okay. still trying to figure out the exact week. It's basically setting aside a week for a trial early next year.
Okay, let's talk something we didn't talk about last month. You want to amend the city's zoning code to remove 47 billboards by 2031 as part of a beautification process here in the city. Others say it hurts businesses. It's a way to communicate to people. There's property rights. So why ban all these billboards and not just try to regulate?
Well, we do regulate them now, Joe, in the zoning code for decades, I think now, we've said you can't put up big billboards. We have pretty strict restrictions on signage, whether it's on your own building or an independent sign. And these score dozens of billboards are grandfathered in from the old rules. And I do think it's a good idea to try to modernize and get everybody consistent. It is a little complicated. There are legal twists and turns that we have to go through. But we're still working with the council on that. And I understand there are people who say they like billboards. We as a community have said we don't like billboards, if you will. We've said we don't want new billboards. So are these billboards going to be here forever is kind of the question as grandfathered, or should we phase them out? So that's the question in front of the council. You know, if you think about it, too, the way most people get information now is so different from driving into town and seeing a billboard for a restaurant. Most everybody these days is using their digital access, say, where am I going to eat or what kind of services are available. So we're still working on that one.
Capital Improvement Board is almost completed. Mm-hmm. I think they get to elect a final member soon. It looks like their first official meeting is already scheduled in January. At least that's, when I mean official, I mean probably started to to get the convention center expansion going. Part of this, though, is that they need a roadmap, and something that we've talked about a lot here. Where is that process right now?
Well, this is another issue we've talked about for quite a few years, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
And I am pleased. I believe we are very close to settling that roadmap, the interlocal agreement between the city and the county, to kind of frame up how the CIB, the Capital Improvement Board, can operate to move forward. As I've talked with you before, my fundamental objective has been to try to make sure that a expanded convention center is a great quality project, that it's going to enhance the downtown, that it will provide the excellence of design and construction and development that we want to see. I think we're very close to that on the interlocal to make sure that we don't have too many cooks in the kitchen, that we can empower the board of good people to get that done. So I actually expect in the next week or two or three, we'll be able to share that and get the CIB with that marching order. Now, to get that interlocal approved actually takes four bodies to approve it: the mayor, county commissioners, county council, and city council. So that process of approval, I hope, will take place over the next few weeks.
Is that something all of these groups are working on right now?
Well, there's negotiation that's led by the city and the county, the commissioners and this office, that's trying to frame that up. We're keeping our councils informed. I know they've seen the document and drafts of it. So now we're really close to a very final document that we can then hopefully get all four of us to sign and move forward and give to the Capital Improvement Board to do the work, get it going.
Get going. Seen a lot of news, the tech hub grants from the Biden administration, state officials praising the millions that are coming into the state. Have you heard about any trickle down to Bloomington? And of course, we're sitting, though, I have to mention, right next to the Trades District, which I'm sure was very happy to see that announcement yesterday.
Look, Joe, there's so much going on. We're very excited that, yeah, the dirt is actually moving in the Trades District. I went by there yesterday. They're starting to prepare for the construction there of that exciting new tech center. We are working very closely with Indiana University. We've just submitted a really important grant to the Lilly Endowment together to ask for support with Crane, with IU, with us, with Westgate. I think there's enormous opportunities ahead with good signals of that. But look, we always have to be with our hand up, with our applications in, and it'll actually be a multi-year process. But I'm very bullish and optimistic about that impact on Bloomington, Indiana University, our economy, the jobs here, and frankly, being part of the climate response going forward in the new tech world.
Yeah. You mentioned the dirt being, I saw that too, for the tech center. There was talk about, I think, a boutique hotel interested in building there in a corner. Any news on new developments going up in there?
We don't have a new news on that, but you're okay. Right, Joe. We've signed a letter of intent with a hotel that wants to put in that with some retail and other things, which would be exciting, kind of right next to that tech center. We continue to talk with other folks about it. You may see the kiln there working. The administration building is upgrading, getting ready to go on the market too. So there's a lot going on, and it's all good. You know, look, the world has changed too, kind of the office space and the use of office space, but the tech district really has, the trades district really has a lot of good momentum going on.
Yeah, and I noticed if you look at the trades district has a master plan, mm-hmm. if you look at where they want to put the hotel, commercial, that the master plan doesn't call for that in that section or something that would have maybe 8 or 9 stories. Is that something that could change?
Well,
can the master plan change?
The master plan definitely can. Well, it's an old master plan. I inherited it, so it's at least 10 years old, eight or 10 years old, I think. And it's meant to be a master plan, but circumstances always change. We have master plan for Switchyard and Hopewell, and they give us the map, but we sometimes navigate a little differently as we go. You know, we now have the mill, and that group is integrally involved in developing the Trace District, which is exciting. And things do evolve, but we have a wonderful process, a lot of input on that. And then it depends on what the market will do, right? So if we have a great investor come in and say, hey, I want to do X, Y, and Z, and we wanted W, X, and Y, sometimes we say, let's go with X, Y, and Z.
That was all I had. I know we're about out of time, but I always like to leave the last minute for you. Any big announcements or things you'd like to let us know?
It's just a good time of year. The city is beautiful. I hope everybody's enjoying the leaves and the way we're turning into fall. I'm excited about Bloomington's future, Joe. You know, there's a lot of things running on all cylinders. It's fun to think about that as we hand the torch over, and I hope people keep taking good care of our city as we do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.